You're listening to the Dirt Pass Sermon Podcast, the podcast for the Ravenna Church of the Nazarene. I'm Pastor Jason Barnett, a.k.a. the Dirt Path Pastor, and my team and I strive to share the message of God's Word with you, seasoned with grace, laced with truth, and applying to your everyday life. So many times we think, if we could just see a sign, if God could just show me something, then I would have the faith to believe. But the man in our story, the centurion in our story, doesn't look at things that way. He's heard all the stories about Jesus, all the miraculous signs he's performed, and that was enough for him. He doesn't witness any of them. He doesn't see any of them. He just believes based on the reports that he's heard. And that's where the lesson applies to you and I in today's message. Pauses in life can be scary, right? You know, a pause when someone's talking to you and there's a dramatic pause of some sort. Guys, you probably remember when you proposed to your wife, right? That you got down on one knee and you asked the question, will you marry me? Then there's that pause, right? And it seems like it lasts forever before she says yes. Hopefully she said yes. But there's a pause that's scarier than that. It's when you go to the grocery store or to a restaurant or maybe even at the gas station pump and you go to put your card into the card reader. Right? You put your card in and there's that 30-second pause where you're waiting to find out, am I approved or am I declined? Right? It's scary. It's scary. And if you've ever been where your card gets declined, you know it's kind of embarrassing, right? You're like, well, how am I going to pay for this? Well, I guess I got two kidneys. I only need one. So one of my favorite stories, Shaquille O'Neal, the NBA player, right? He's retired now. But later in his career, he's traded from the Miami Heat to the Phoenix Suns. And it was kind of one of those overnight deals, so he had to very quickly move his family from Miami to Phoenix. And so when they get to Phoenix, he just takes them all to Walmart that night, and he uses his card. He's just buying everything his kids and his house would need there in Phoenix. Well, he scans his card, and it says declined. And he's like, well, I know I've got the money. I'm Shaq. And just as he's trying to figure out what's going on, he gets a call from the credit card company and says, hey, Mr. O'Neill, we just got an alert on your card that you spent $70,000 at Walmart. No one spent $70,000. It was me, you dummy. So sometimes it can happen to you. Those pauses can be scary. But you know, that fear of pauses like that fear that we sense in the pause can have an impact on our faith too. Did you know that? Fear can have an impact on our faith. And we know we have a need in our life, or we know a need in someone else's life, and rather than bring it to God like we know we should, we're afraid that our faith might get declined when we offer it to God. We read in the Bible miracle after miracle, but we're too afraid to pray those big prayers to God, thinking that, you know what, this, you know, God might not come through this time, so maybe I shouldn't pray such a big prayer like that. Well, the man in our passage today, he has no fear. He has no such fear like that. Matter of fact, he has absolute faith in Jesus. And it's to the point he doesn't even need Jesus to be present or right in front of him. So that's the story we're going to look at today in Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10 is what we'll be reading. When Jesus had concluded saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. Now a centurion's servant who was highly valued by him was sick and about to die. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, requesting him to come and save the life of his servant. When they reached Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, "This man is worthy for you to do this, because he loves our nation, has built us a synagogue." So Jesus went with them. And when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to tell him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, since I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. That's why I didn't even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under my command. I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes. And to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." Jesus heard this and was amazed at him. Turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found so great a faith even in Israel." When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant in good health. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So in our passage here, we're reading about this Roman centurion. And the centurions were kind of the backbone of the Roman army. So to me, that means they were probably NCOs and not officers, right? Because the NCOs actually do all the work and the officers just bark out orders. If there's any officers in here today, I'm sorry. But most Roman soldiers, they were hardened people, right? They weren't known for being caring and compassionate. They didn't really take the time to care about their servants because it was all about meeting the needs of the empire and doing what needed to be done. But the text tells us this centurion was different. You see, most Romans, let alone the Roman soldiers, they despised the Jews. They didn't want anything to do with them. But this centurion cared. He cared that his servant, that it tells him was highly valued to him. He cared that this man was sick and he was dying. And so he hears Jesus has entered the area, and so he invites Jesus to come and to heal his servant. Now, we know that the centurion's care is genuine because of the way the Jewish elders respond. Remember, he tells the Jewish elders, "Go and tell Jesus to come to my house." Just like the Romans weren't crazy about the Jews were not crazy about the Romans either. Something about when a foreign army is occupying you, you're not too thrilled with that foreign invader, right? But the fact that these Jewish elders went willingly tells us of the fact that this man cared about others, because when you care about others, you build influence in their life. Now we can all tell the difference when someone's trying to do nice things for us to get something, or when they're doing it because they genuinely care. And when someone genuinely cares, you'll do anything for that person. And that's where this centurion was. He had earned the respect of the Jewish elders to the point where they go to Jesus and say, "Look, Jesus, if there is anybody worthy for you to come to their house and do this miracle, it's this man. He has loved our nation. He's even built us a synagogue." The generosity of the centurion stirred this compassion in the heart of the Jewish elders because they recognized they were indebted to the kindness of the centurion that showed them. So they go to Jesus and they rave about this Gentile's worthiness to the Lord. Now we're reading down here in verse 6 that Jesus goes with the Jewish elders. Jesus doesn't argue with them. He doesn't ask questions. He's like, "I'm going to go with these guys." But on his way to the house, Jesus met by a group of the centurion's friends, and the friends have a message from the centurion to Jesus, and it's kind of an interesting one. The centurion wants Jesus to know, hey, don't Don't risk your own skin by coming to my house. The Greek, that's what it's literally saying when the centurion is telling Jesus, don't trouble yourself. He's literally saying, don't risk your own skin to come into my house. The Roman centurion was not Jewish. He was a Gentile. And this Roman centurion knew, because he was a Gentile and living in a Jewish area and knowing the customs of the area, because he cared, he understood that for Jesus to enter his house as a Jewish man would make Jesus ceremonially unclean. And the centurion does not want that for Jesus. He knows, I am not a practicing Jew. I'm not worthy to have this great teacher of the Jews come into my house. So don't risk your own skin, Jesus. Don't come into my house. But the centurion is not saying that because he's lost faith or he's doubted in the power of Jesus. He's saying it actually for the opposite reason, right? You see, the centurion being in the army, one thing you learn very quickly is that you follow orders. Sometimes it takes some groups a little longer to learn to follow other orders than others, but you learn to follow orders. So this centurion, he knew that his life, if someone gave him a command to do something that was higher rank than him, he was going to do it. He had soldiers under his command that they obeyed what he said. He had a servant that listened to him. But this centurion knew that there was something about Jesus where the authority that Jesus had was greater than the authority that he commanded. He knew Jesus had the power and the authority to look at the illness that was plaguing his servant and with one word send it away. Jesus had the power of God. And so the centurion believes this, and he has absolute faith that Jesus doesn't even have to be present in his house. All Jesus has to do is say a word, and his servant will be healed. So Jesus hears this, and in verse 9, it tells us something. Jesus heard this and was amazed. God in the flesh was amazed. He's blown away by this. This man was a centurion. He was a Gentile. He was not someone that practiced the faith. But the centurion had faith that didn't require any words from Jesus. It didn't require any visual signs from Jesus. He just had a faith that Jesus was who he said he was and could do what he said he could do. But keep in mind, Jesus has been performing all kinds of signs before the Jewish people. Remember, the Jewish people are God's chosen people. So Jesus has been doing all these miracles, and they're struggling to believe in him. But here is this Gentile man, this Roman soldier. Here's about Jesus, and says, Jesus, I don't need to see a sign from you. I don't even need to hear it. I don't even need you physically present here. All I believe is you have the authority and with one word can heal my servant. And so we get to verse 10. And it reads almost like an afterthought in this story. Verse 10 says, when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant in good health. So Jesus does say the word. He's amazed by the man's faith, and the time the gang gets back from Jesus to the house, the servant is better. But that reads as like an afterthought in the story, because the highlight of the story is the centurion's faith. He knew that Jesus had the authority, and then Jesus did it. He believed in Jesus, and then Jesus did it, because he had the authority to do it. So that kind of brings us to the truth for you and I here this morning. And our truth this morning is really cool and it's really easy. It's that Jesus has the authority. Jesus has the authority. He has the same authority that he had here with the centurion's servant to heal them with one word. Jesus still has that same authority today. Amen? Jesus has that authority. That's right. You tell him, Lincoln. We don't just read about that here in this story with the centurion's faith. Throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus has the authority to cast out demons, to open the eyes of the blind, to make the deaf hear, the mute speak, the lame walk again, even bring the dead back to life. Jesus had the authority, and he still has the authority. We read that Jesus had the authority throughout the book of Acts. And it was in the name of Jesus that the apostles went around making the lame walk again, bringing the dead back to life. So Jesus had the authority here in the Gospels. He had it through the apostles. Jesus had the authority in the beginning, in the very beginning of all creation. Remember what John says in John 1:3. All things were made through him. There was nothing made something like that. Look at John 1:3. Jesus was there in the beginning. And everything was made through him. Jesus has the authority. And he still has it today. Church, do we believe that? Because here we are right now, we're reading the story, and it reminds us that Jesus has it, though, but we're sitting here with our own needs and the needs of other people that we love and care about. Those needs have a grip on our hearts. Jesus still has the authority, and he always will have the authority. But you know what keeps us from lifting those needs up to God? It's fear. We're afraid to lift these big, incredible needs up to God and ask God to do something, to ask Jesus to do it. Why? Because we're afraid that when we go to swipe our card of faith, it's going to get declined. Here's the thing, though. We know that the funds are sufficient. It's the name of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the God who is everlasting. He still has the authority. So the funds are sufficient. But fear keeps us from asking. Jesus has the authority. He did have it, he still does have it, and he always will. So that's our truth this morning, but here's what grace tells us. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. He always has, and he always will. And the needs that are gripping your heart and then gripping my heart, he is saying, would you let go of these and let me have them? Would you have the faith to swipe the card and believe that the funds are sufficient? Because I want to work a miracle into your day that you would not believe. So the question then becomes, do you and I have the faith? Do we have the faith to trust God to give him those needs?
If you listen to this podcast regularly or you've attended a service in person, you'll notice that my sermon was much shorter today than normal. That's because I ended the service going around the sanctuary praying for needs that were here in the room and some of the needs that I've received online throughout the week. It's because I believe Jesus has the power to heal. That's what the message about the centurion teaches us, is that we have the faith in Jesus, not seeing the sign, not feeling special feelings, but we have faith in Jesus that he can do the work that he tells us he can do, that he can do the work that his word tells us he did, and he can still do it now. So I want to close out this episode a little differently. I want to invite you to message me your needs so I can help you pray over them. They don't care how big or how small that need is. I believe Jesus loves you and wants to help you. So you can send me a message by clicking the link in the show notes, or if you're looking at the chapter markers and you click the section that says call to action, there's a link there that will take you directly to a page to send me a message of what your prayer needs are. And let's lift them up to Jesus together. Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Bert Passman Podcast. It was recorded live at the Ravenna Church of the Nazarene, located at 530 Main Street in Ravenna, Kentucky. You can learn more about the Ravenna Church of the Nazarene by visiting ravnaz.com. And if you'd like to send me a message, just simply use the link in the show notes.